Welcome to the Relatable Finance Podcast. Here are your hosts, Joseph Carl and Shane Phillips.
Welcome to today's podcast. Joe, today's topic is the FIRE movement. Not the FIRE festival, which some people may be thinking about. I think the FIRE movement is just as exciting. The FIRE festival had some documentaries out earlier this year. Some people like those quite a bit, but I think the FIRE movement is definitely more important. And the FIRE movement, the FIRE part of it, is an acronym. And the acronym stands for Financial Independence Retire Early. Broadly speaking, this is an idea of working less and retiring longer. And this is something that needs to be planned for, where you're going to be saving quite a bit, you're going to be investing quite a bit, you're going to have a good idea about your budget. But as it says, is you're going to have an early retirement, you're going to have that financial independence, and it is something where going forward you could enjoy a pretty good lifestyle.
Well, Shane, if I'm being honest, I've never heard of the FIRE Festival or the acronym FIRE as you just described it. However, I am committed to making this a FIRE episode of Relatable Finance, so let's get this party started.
Yeah, so as you can see, this is a movement that has been gaining attention. It's not very mainstream yet, as Joe hasn't even heard about it. But the idea, like I said, can be very, very appealing. You know, basically work less, retire longer. But when you dig into the reality of it, it's something that has a lot of different variables that go into it that make this very, very difficult, and thus the reason why more of us aren't doing it. But we're going to jump into some of those variables today and just discuss how this might be a possibility if it's something that appeals to you.
Work less and retire longer. Sign me up, no doubt about it. I'm sure everyone who is listening would also agree. In fact, I'm not sure if there's anyone who would disagree. However, outside of winning the lottery, selling a business, or inheriting wealth, this is a very difficult task. There is no easy button here. And I think the dynamics around that are what Shane wanted to go over today.
Yeah, so the first one we're going to talk about, and this is the case for many of the other things we talk about, is it's very similar to what we look at and discuss for normal retirement. But with the whole FIRE movement, it's going to have a lot longer in retirement, so some of these risks or potential holdups might be a little bit of a higher magnitude in terms of their risk or what they can affect. But the first one is sequence of returns risk. Basic concept, once again, here is that all clients are faced with this when they're moving into retirement, but it's the idea that the worst time for your portfolio to have a very bad year are those years right before and right after retirement.
Yeah, so as we all know, the market has good times and the market has bad times. Over the long term, the good times definitely outweigh the bad, which is why the stock market has averaged around 10% per year. When you're growing your portfolio for retirement, the volatility is not that big of a deal outside of messing with your emotions, assuming you don't make any changes. However, when one begins to rely on an investment portfolio for income needs, some dynamics change and the portfolio becomes more sensitive to the bad times or market drawdowns. We can't control when the good times or bad times occur. But when you are relying on a portfolio for income, the portfolio becomes more sensitive to market declines and therefore has sequence of returns risk.
So the idea of relying on your portfolio for income is really the big risk here, I guess. So if you think of the basic concept of relying on this portfolio for income, you're taking out money every year, and then your portfolio has a very bad year, you know, that really sets you back. You have less money to make back those returns. And if you're going to be in retirement for 40 or 50 years with the FIRE movement, as opposed to 20 or 25 years with a normal retirement age, this is definitely a very, very big concern to you. This is going to be something that may require some flexibility. Like I said, if you're taking out a fixed income from your portfolio every year and the market has a bad year, you may have to take out less to make the longer term plan more viable. But definitely another thing to take into consideration if this is something that you are thinking about and planning for. Some other variables that definitely are going to play a big impact on this long term plan, and is something that we do see and use in everyday portfolio management and in all of our plans, is inflation and taxes.
Yeah, so unfortunately, inflation and taxes do exist. What are the implications? With inflation, we need to account for the fact that things will cost more in the future. And given the Fed's target for inflation of 2%, that's a good benchmark to use. This means that your portfolio needs to grow by 2% a year just to maintain the same purchasing power. With taxes, most investments are subject to taxes assuming they are outside of qualified accounts, such as IRAs and 401ks. Let's assume for a second that all of your investments are in a taxable account. Under that scenario, capital gains would be subject to capital gains taxes, and interest and dividends would be subject to current income rates. So to put this in perspective, let's go through a simple example. You do the math and determine the amount you need to save and grow your portfolio on a net basis every year, and come to the conclusion that a net rate of return of 5% before inflation and taxes will allow you to meet your target. If we take into consideration 2% inflation and assume a 15% effective tax rate, the net 5% rate of return jumps to 7.35 gross.
So a very clear example how those numbers make a big difference. And it's something that maybe people don't always plan for, but it definitely is going to be real money, and that can really affect your plan. You also mentioned this being with taxable money. A lot of us save for retirement using tax-deferred accounts like IRAs, 401ks, and there are certain things within those plans that are going to have a penalty if you take them out too early. And with this, obviously, retiring early movement, there may be some additional taxes or fees that you have to pay to access some of those funds. The next variable we're going to talk about is actually getting to the point where the FIRE idea is even possible. So we mentioned this a little bit, but we're talking about a very, very high rate of savings, 70, 80, 90% of your income. And depending on your actual spending habits, this might be something that isn't even possible unless you have a very high-paying job. So if we're thinking about starting to work in your early 20s and working until your 40s, earning a high amount may not even be a variable you can change. Sometimes you're going to start out low and you're going to increase year by year, and you're also missing out on those peak earning years. If you're retiring at 40, most people are making most of their money after that fact. So it could be an area where it's going to make it very, very difficult to save enough in a lump sum to be able to live the rest of your life.
Yeah, and it may sound really boring, but one of the keys to financial success, whether you're pursuing FIRE or just trying to grow for a normal retirement, is sticking to a budget. It makes sure that you're living within your means. If you want to retire early, it only places even more emphasis on a budget and makes more pressure on all the variables that we just discussed.
So next we're going to talk about actually having that money and living off of it. So let's just say for right now, all that money is saved up and it's in your investment portfolio. You know, you save a lot from 22 to 40, had a very strict budget, and then all of a sudden you retire, let's just say in 2006. And you got this perfect plan in place, you've taken into consideration taxes and inflation, and everything's set up perfect. And then 2008 and 2009 happens, and you see that big lump sum money that you worked so hard for get cut in half. You know, this is going to be something that could greatly, greatly affect you. You know, it's going to be very hard to sleep, I would assume, if you don't have a job, you have no income coming in, and your bucket of money just got cut in half. So going into something like this, you're going to have to realize that this is a long-term plan. Markets came back after 2008 and 2009 just fine, but it's going to be a ride that may not be as comfortable.
Yeah.
Another thing that you can do, along with diversifying your portfolio, as we've talked about in other episodes, is diversify income streams. So whether this is buying some rental property to provide some steady income, maybe picking up some type of part-time work, whether it be some consulting, coaching, whatever the case may be, being able to have some outside income sources could maybe let you sleep a little bit better at night.
Yeah, essentially what we're trying to do here is take pressure off the portfolio. And one way to do that is to have other sources of income that are not correlated with the market, or other investments in your portfolio that are uncorrelated with the market. This makes the bad times less bad and essentially puts less pressure on the portfolio.
So going back to when I first heard about the FIRE movement, it might not be something that's for everyone. Originally, what initially came to mind for me is the first part of FIRE, and that's just financial independence. And I think the more and more I read about this, talk to people about this general idea, it's probably the part that more people are looking for these days. And that's just having the financial independence to kind of do what you want to do. You know, work as much as you want, a lot or a little, get a different job, or work nights or work remotely, whatever the case would be, but just having that financial independence and really that freedom to do whatever you need to do. And this may be some portion of continuing to work a decent amount, but with your own schedule and also living off of some type of portfolio. But really, I think the idea that most resonates with me is the freedom aspect of having that financial independence.
Yeah, I mean, when you think about it, who wouldn't want to be financially independent? I mean, I definitely would. It would certainly provide a lot of freedom. However, achieving it is very difficult, and for some, almost impossible. If it is something that you want to consider, it will certainly take a lot of discipline, some knowledge of investment principles, many sacrifices, and likely some luck along the way. Again, this is not something that where there's an easy button.
Mm-hmm. So a few downfalls or potential downfalls, there can be a lot, and we talked about some of them already, but one of them being that you've gotten to this point, you're in, you know, financial independence, retiring early, and let's say 5 years in, you decide you want to have kids. You know, unexpectedly, it grew on you, whatever the case would be. The problem with kids in this situation is that they're very, very expensive. So you kind of have the rest of your life planned out, set income, set planned, everything, and all of a sudden you want something that's going to cost a lot of money. This may be something where you just go back to work, change your plans, but once again, you've missed out on a set time of work. Your skills might not be as marketable, and maybe you won't be able to make as much as you originally expected. The other part of it is just, you know, the unknown. So accidents happen, health scares come up where sudden expenses could pop up that could kind of throw off this whole plan that you put in place. But another situation where some plan tweaking or some flexibility along the way might be necessary.
Yeah, and I think that this is a little bit of putting the cart before the horses. Is that the proper way to use that term?
It sounds correct.
Yeah, so said another way, I think that we are worrying about something where it may not even be a potential problem. If you're going to pursue the principles of FIRE, financial independence, retire early, it's not going to hurt you. Sticking to a budget, saving more, having a sound understanding of investment principles, these aren't going to hurt you at all, or really going to hurt anyone. There may be a point in time where if you really truly want to pursue that some of those things that Shane mentioned, having a child, maybe some medical expenses, that could really derail the process. But again, that's a long way off. And I think the point here is that there's a lot of challenges. And if this is something you want to pursue, it's going to take some sacrifices. And you're going to need to stick to a plan throughout it.
Yeah, and Joe, I think you did a great job there of just recapping everything. And the way I think about it, it's all these good habits and good ideas to start having in mind. If you were going to have a normal retirement, something we talk to a lot of our clients about if they want to retire at 65. But with the FIRE movement, it's all that to the extreme. So extreme saving, extreme budgeting, all those things that can really help you, whether it is something that is appealing to you, whether the financial independence retire early or just the financial independence part, or even just normal retirement. A lot of the things we talked about today can be spread across to all of those and are good things to keep in mind. We hope you enjoy this episode of Relatable Finance. If you have any questions, please reach out to podcast@provwealth.com and check out our Twitter handle @financepodcast.
Provenance Wealth Advisors is not a registered broker-dealer and is independent of Raymond James Financial Services, Inc. Securities are offered through Raymond James Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA/SIPC. Investment advisory services are offered through Raymond James Financial Services Advisors, Inc. Any opinions are those of Relatable Finance Podcast and PWA, and not necessarily those of Raymond James. The information contained in this report does not purport to be a complete description of the securities, markets, or developments referred to in this material. There is no assurance that any of the trends mentioned will continue or forecasts will occur. The information has been obtained from sources considered to be reliable, but Raymond James does not guarantee that the foregoing material is accurate or complete. Any information is not a complete summary or statement of all available data necessary for making an investment decision and does not constitute a recommendation. Investing involves risk, and you may incur a profit or loss regardless of strategy selected. Diversification and asset allocation do not ensure a profit or protect against a loss. Investing involves risk, and investors may incur a profit or loss. Raymond James does not provide tax or legal services. Please discuss these matters with the appropriate professional.